Thanks for joining us here on Near FM.
How are you, Paul?
Very good. Very good to have you on. Now, we'll be talking in a minute about the Hospice Foundation's trip to Italy. But first of all, as you might know, Paul, our studios are based here in Coolock, and I believe you're a local lad.
I am. Born and reared in Kilmore Avenue. Not living there anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But a good place to grow up, very much so, yeah.
Yeah, and I believe your dad was a famous cyclist as well, was he? You come from a long line of cyclists.
Yeah, it's in the family. My dad was national champion the year I was born, and from the moment I could walk, I wanted to emulate him. And as we all did, we're four boys. I was the eldest, and as you say, we grew up in Coolock and spent our childhood out in the lanes of North County Dublin riding bikes, and it was fun memories.
Great. And as we're talking about Italy today, maybe if we go back to 1989, which I think was your last your last year cycling, what memories do you have of the 89 Tour riding, the Giro d'Italia riding on Stephen Roach's team?
Yeah, that was my last year. I'd been a professional for 4 years, and it was my first time to ride the Giro, a very different race to the Tour de France. Not quite as pressurised. But what surprised me most, I suppose, was the mountains, how steep the mountains were there. Not as long as the climbs in France, but very, very steep.
Yeah.
But a very enjoyable race for me, because I had ridden the 87 Tour de France. That was my last big tour before I went to Italy that year, and hadn't finished.
Yeah.
And it was very important for me to get through the race, and I managed to get through the Giro and finish it. And that in itself is an achievement and a very fond memory, yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. And of course, I was just doing a bit of research, and I see you finished 84th in that race. Do you remember who finished two places behind you?
It might be Bjarne Riis, was it?
It was, yeah, yeah. Did you think of him at the time?
Bjarne Riis went on to win the Tour de France, of course, yeah.
Yeah, my next question was, did you think of him at the time as a future Tour winner?
Not something I would have predicted, no, Paul. Look, he wasn't a future Tour winner, and if you told me at that time that he was going to go on and do that, I would have laughed at you, as I think most people would.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the sport was in the midst of... I suppose, strangled by a culture of doping, and that culture enabled a rider like Bjarne Riis to go on and totally transform himself some 6-7 years later and win the Tour of France, which was, it seemed absurd at the time, but there you go.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a cycling fan myself, and I remember pictures of Bjarne Riis coming across the line of mountaintop finish, and he reminded me of a rabid dog. He had sort of foam coming out of his mouth, and at the time I didn't make the link, but obviously there was something going on. Do you ever think that, if you look back, did you ever ask the question, could you have won the Tour if you had taken drugs?
No, I don't think so, Paul. I mean, look, you know, I'm contradicting myself now in a sense, in that, you know, I beat Riis in that 89 Tour. He went on to win the Tour. Had I stayed around and done the same stuff he'd done, look, there's a chance. I don't actually believe that. Look, I wouldn't have done it in the first place.
Of course, yeah.
You've got to have a particular mindset. You've got to have a particular mindset to put all that stuff in your body and the stuff that Riis put into his body to enable him to do that. I didn't have that mindset.
Yeah.
You've got to be absolutely, totally obsessed with winning to do that to yourself.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that obsessed with winning. So, you know, it's hypothetical. So I would say no. And I've always said no. I mean, people have asked me that, you know, I could have been a much better rider, but a Tour de France winner, no chance, no.
Yeah. So if you had your racing career to live over again, is there any one thing you would have done differently?
Well, I would definitely have finished out the 1989 Tour, because after I left Italy that year, I went to ride the Tour. I started the Tour de France, and I quit after about 13 stages, and that was my last race. That's probably the only thing I'd change. I'd probably go on to Paris, and it would have been a better place to finish up my career on the Champs-Élysées. That would be the only thing I'd change. It's only a small detail, but definitely be the only thing I'd change.
What about the amateur world championships? Would you have attacked a little bit earlier? You came sixth.
Well, I was unlucky. In 85, I finished sixth in the World Championships in the amateur racing. I was unlucky in that I actually finished on a flat tire. Not a flat tire, but a deflating tire.
Right.
And certainly that might have stolen a place or two for me, or maybe I might have scraped into a medal. But again, it's you don't know.
Hindsight.
You don't know. But that would be, I was a little bit unlucky with that, yeah.
Yeah. And where do you get your determination from? Where do you, who taught you about truth and honesty, and why is that so important to you? Was that your father?
Well, is that a blessing or a curse? Sometimes I think it's a curse. My dad is a pretty straight shooter, and always was. And that isn't always comfortable. I mean, he watched me on the Saturday Night Show the other night,
yeah.
And he gave me a withering review of my performance.
Right.
So he hasn't. It's not always easy to live with that. But that's definitely probably where I get it from.
From your dad, yeah.
He's always been a straight shooter, and it was a good way to grow up.
Yeah, because you mentioned.
I do sometimes wonder if it is a blessing or a curse.
It is a blessing, because you mentioned there winning isn't everything to you. So you would put truth and honesty ahead of that.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be to anybody. I mean, that's the cliche, yeah. Isn't it? Winning is the only thing. Well, I'm sorry, it's not the only thing. You know, there are rules and ethics and fairness and honesty, and I think that should be the only thing. You know.
Yeah. Super, yeah.
If you can win after that, fine.
Great, yeah. Sean Kelly,
Sean
Kelly, who I think you know, described recently the state of Irish cycling as poor. Would you agree with him?
Well, I think he was looking at the numbers coming through, and in particular the junior ranks, and in the way the calendar is set up. And there's definitely, you know, there are definitely major problems there. I mean, we're not getting enough young kids.
Yeah.
All of the guys riding bikes now, and there's been an absolute explosion in the number of people cycling, and they've all been my age, you know, middle-aged men and like are coming back, and we're not getting the young kids coming through, and I think that's something that needs to be addressed, so it absolutely does have that problem, yes.
Yeah, because I mean, I remember when I was cycling, I used to ride for a club called Lejeune. I think they're gone. I think you rode for
Ballymun. Yeah. Great lads. Yeah.
Under Richie Beattie. And
that's right. Yeah.
I think you rode for Tara, who I think they're gone as well. Are they?
They're gone as well. Yeah.
So there's a lot of old clubs. People don't seem to meet on a Sunday or Saturday and Sunday and go out for bike rides anymore. I suppose it's
it's definitely changed. Yeah, I mean, it's been great. The popularity, it's great that the sport is so popular now.
Yeah,
but it's disappointing that we're not getting more young kids. I mean, if we could get a few more juniors and younger kids into it, it would be much healthier. But it's tough, you know. It's not an easy sport, as you know yourself.
Yeah.
It takes a particular mindset to stay with it and to achieve in it, really, yeah.
Yeah, oh, well, I wasn't as tough as you were.
And then the doping stories haven't helped either, you know. You know, you know, what kid can hope to shoot for the top now and have to face all that? You know, it's not great.
And as you were saying as well, you know, parents will be a little bit reluctant to let their kid away and... You know,
well, I think so. You know, and then the roads are more dangerous now. There are more cars, and so there has a lot going for it, but it has a few things going against it as well.
Yeah, and of course, the main reason we have you on today, Paul, is to talk about a charity event that you're involved with, the Irish Hospice Foundation. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm going to ride from Genoa to Rome in June with the Irish Hospice Foundation, and the charity is for their Nurses for Night Care service, a fantastic service that I think probably everybody in the country at some stage has or will avail of the hospice in some shape or form. I know we have in our family.
Mm.
So it's just a way for me to help make a small contribution to that. And as I said, we're going to be riding from Genoa to Rome over the space of a week in late June. Weather should be lovely. We'll have some performance-reducing drugs in the shape of a few bottles of Chianti, and we hope to have a good time. And anybody out there who'd like to come along, just get onto the Hospice Foundation website and all the details are there.
Right, and it's 600 kilometres in 5 days. That's quite manageable, I think, is it?
Yeah. Even for someone like us at our age, I think that's more than manageable, Paul.
Right, and you go up the Mount Sarah climb. Is that a major category climb, or is it
Well... I think there'll be a bit of choice involved. I haven't actually looked at how tough some of these climbs are yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be a couple of the Giro, the old Giro climbs, and I actually look forward to doing them again. It's not, even though I'm carrying a few extra kilos now, I still enjoy riding in the mountains. I think still cycling in its purest form.
Yeah,
and yeah, I look forward to reacquainting myself with that again.
Sounds like great fun. And finally, Paul, back in 1989 when you were riding the Giro, I don't know if you remember this, but you wrote, "We're in the most beautiful city in the world. We don't have time to look around. The hotel was more like a factory, and the dinner wasn't worth waiting for." Can you promise participants?
Rome,
can you promise participants this year a better experience?
I can absolutely 100% guarantee them a better experience, Paul. Absolutely.
Okay, well, it sounds like a great event.
And they won't even have to shave their legs.
That's good news, especially for the men. My hair hasn't grown back, but listen, Paul, thanks very much for coming on. Great event in June with the Hospice Foundation, and best of luck with everything else that's going on with you.
Thank you, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.